All right. It's good to see you this morning. We are looking at, if I heard Don correctly, our final But God this morning. So our attention is going to be drawn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let me read to you a few verses 9 to 12 here. It says in this book, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. But God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." What a wonderful truth that truth can come to us because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is making that known to us. That's a gift that mankind is not naturally, physically, in the flesh born with. It's a gift that we only receive when we are born again. And that's a truth that I hope that we can ponder this morning, that we need to be born again to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So let's just take the time to think about this morning. First of all, do I know Christ as Savior? Maybe today is your day. If not, if we do, thank you, Lord, for revealing to us your truth through your Spirit. As we ponder being with you forever, Lord, and the day when we get to heaven, we know that there will be no sin to separate. There will be no distractions to keep us from fully seeing you, and we praise you for that. In the meantime, Lord, give us a sight today to come to you with hearts ready, not hurried, not distracted, not pondering other things. Today has its own worries, as Jesus said. Let's not be one that worries about those things of today, but help us, Lord, to concentrate fully on serving you, looking unto you, putting our heads upward to the heavens from where our help comes from. Help us to worship you this morning, and thank you so much that you have revealed your truth to us, Lord, and thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In him we pray. Amen. God is for us, so who can be against us? Nothing and no one. Let's stand together and sing to him. One, two, three, four. ask us once again to pray, and I will be praying from the Puritan book, The Valley of Vision, and this prayer is called The All Good. My God, Thou hast helped me to see that whatever good be in honor and rejoicing, how good is He who gives them and can withdraw them. That blessedness does not lie so much in receiving good from and in Thee, but in holding forth Thy glory and virtue. That it is an amazing thing to see Deity in a creature, speaking, acting, filling, shining through it. That nothing is good but Thee. That I am near good when I am near Thee. That to be like Thee is a glorious thing. This is my magnet, my attraction. Thou art all my good in times of peace, my only support in days of trouble, my one sufficiency when life shall end. Help me to see how good Thy will is in all, and even when it crosses mine, teach me to be pleased with it. Grant me to feel Thee in fire and food and every providence, and to see that Thy many gifts and creatures are but Thy hands and fingers taking hold of me. Thou bottomless fountain of all good, I give myself to Thee out of love, for all I have or own is Thine, my goods, my family, my church, myself, to do with as Thou wilt, to honor Thyself by me and by all mine. If it be consistent with Thy eternal counsels, the purpose of Thy grace, and the great ends of Thy glory, then bestow upon me the blessings of Thy comforts. If not, let me resign myself to Thy wiser determinations. So thankful for the insights of godly men and women who wrote these prayers, and may it be so as we just pray to the Lord.
Nations rage, kingdoms rise. glad that everyone is able to be here this morning to worship our God together. If you are here with us for the first time, we want to welcome you, and we invite you to go back to the connection corner at the back there after service. Give you some information about our church, and there's also a card you can fill out. Just give us a record of your attendance this morning. We'd greatly appreciate that. Also, they can give you directions to Sunday school following the morning service. If you're not sure where to go, if you've been here for a while and you're not sure where to go, you can still ask them, and I'm sure they can direct you. Also, during our last song, there will be on the slide a dismissal time for those and children's church. So we invite all the children between 4 and first grade to go ahead and be dismissed at that time and enjoy junior church. Just a couple other things coming up here. If you were involved in a giveaway, Rachel would like to meet with you at the front of the auditorium this morning just briefly. There is a Thanksgiving service coming up. And I've been telling the teenagers, this is one of my favorite services that I attended as a teenager. And I've encouraged them to come. I encourage you to do so as well. There will be a dinner at 6, service at 7. It's a great time of just hearing the testimony from many of you about what God is doing in their lives. And so I encourage you to come prepared, maybe even with a testimony to share with us, to bless us with that time together. Also, just again, another reminder real quick here, November 19th, that's a Saturday, is the men's breakfast. All right, so we have those things coming up. Anything else, please check your bulletins for additional details.
Stand together for prayer. Father, it is indeed a privilege to be able to come together to worship you. Thank you for this opportunity, and we pray, Father, that it be honoring to you and glorifying to you. May we come with sincere hearts that are ready to focus our attention upon who you are and the truths of your word. I pray that we would not be distracted by those things around us and with the distractions of this world, the things that we do need to care for, but may we be able to set them aside for this morning as we focus our attention in worship to you. And Father, we do thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy as a country, the opportunity that we have to come and worship and to live out our faith without fear of persecution, to live out our faith in our community without fear of the authorities coming and arresting us because we are exercising our faith according to our conscience and according to your word. And Father, as a nation, we've just been through an election cycle, and we would just ask, Father, that those who have been elected would humble themselves before you, even as we've just sung, that there is none above you. All nations are under your authority. And I pray, Father, that our government leaders would recognize that authority over them, that they would govern according to your word and its truths. Even this morning as we study together in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see the contrast between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. And man's wisdom is even called there in 1 Corinthians 2 the wisdom of the rulers of this age. And we recognize, Father, that often our government leaders are governing according to the wisdom of man. And we had to ask, Father, that they might recognize that true government must be done in the wisdom of God, that they would humble themselves before you, and that we would be able to continue to exercise the freedoms that we enjoy and live out our faith without that fear of persecution. And Father, we would just pray for those believers who have been elected to office. We know that often authority seems to corrupt, and I pray that they would not be corrupted by the power that they have as elected officials, and that they would humble themselves before you as well, and that they'd be a witness and a testimony to their colleagues so that they might share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for all of the activities of our church, and we pray that each one would be a blessing to those who attend and that they would be honoring and glorifying to you. We think of our men's breakfast this coming Saturday, and we'd ask, Father, that That might be an encouragement to each one of the men who come, that we might enjoy that fellowship. Indeed, our fellowship is with you and with your Son, and it is indeed with one another as we share our faith with one another. We do pray, Father, also for this Thanksgiving season. It's so easy to come to you with our request, and you've commanded us to do so, and you rejoice in our doing so, and yet we need to come with thanksgiving, acknowledging what you have done for us, acknowledging first and foremost the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, and also acknowledging that that salvation will lead us indeed to an eternity with you, and we are grateful. May we express our heartfelt thanks for what you have done in saving us and sending your Son so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. And Father, you have blessed us with so many blessings. It's so easy to get distracted by the cares of this world, and certainly we face challenges. May we not allow those challenges and those difficulties to overwhelm us, but may we indeed look to you with thanksgiving for the way you have blessed us abundantly. We thank you again, Father, for this hour together. I pray that each one would grow in our faith because we have indeed come to worship you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vaughns and Arnolds. Appreciate that. Let's stand and sing again, please. I'm going to play a verse of the hymn we're doing. It's been a long time since we've sung this hymn, so let me just play a verse through, and then we'll sing a few verses of it together. So hopefully it'll stir in your memory how it goes. Let's sing together.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy past and our eternal home under the shadow of our
praise you, Lord. Thank you. Let's be seated.
Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And as you're turning, may I just mention that our morning service is broadcast Sunday evening on the radio at 7 o'clock. And so if you're listening to that broadcast at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, I would just remind you that we do live stream our service at 9:30 on Sunday morning on our Facebook page. That's the Independent Baptist Church of Towanda, Pennsylvania, Facebook page. Also, you can go to our website, ibctowanda.org, and you can listen to the audio of the message anytime at your convenience on our website. So I just remind all of us of that, but those who are listening by radio, I would remind you of those opportunities as well. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in which Paul contrasts man's wisdom with God's wisdom. And as he makes that contrast, he recognizes that to man's wisdom, God's wisdom looks foolish. And he reminds us, on the flip side, that the wisdom of God being foolishness to man, but he also says that God's foolishness is wiser than man. So he makes that contrast between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. He continues that contrast here in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. I think we said at the time of studying there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that you would think after 6,000 years of human history we'd have some things figured out as man. You would think that we would have figured out some of the issues that we deal with. You would think that we would know how to conduct our human government by now. Again, you look at our elections this past week and I don't think we have anything figured out, do we? I mean, we're polarized. You'd think that we had, after 6,000 years of human history, we'd have some things figured out, and we'd at least have a consensus and come to an agreement. But we're so polarized, we don't agree on anything. You would think that the issues of life and how to maintain peace in our world, you'd think we'd have that figured out. We don't have that figured out at all because we're depending upon man's wisdom. And so as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul continues to make that contrast between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. And as he makes that contrast, he tells us that God has indeed revealed his wisdom to us. It's up to us to come to know and understand God's wisdom. Because man's wisdom will come to nothing. Man's wisdom will not solve the problems of this world. Man's wisdom cannot solve the problems of my own little life, let alone the problems of this world. It is in God's wisdom that we find answers. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word and its truths in which you have revealed your wisdom. May we humble ourselves before that word even this morning as we come and study it together. May we learn, may we grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 6 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, Paul makes the statement, however we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. As Paul has made this contrast between man's wisdom and God's wisdom, he makes it clear. He says, it's not that I'm against wisdom per se. It's just that I'm opposed to man's wisdom. God's wisdom is what we speak, he says in verse 6. We speak the wisdom of God. We speak this wisdom to those who are perfect, he says. Or your translation may say, those who are mature. He's talking about those who are spiritually mature, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, those who have the Spirit of God indwelling them, and they are dependent upon that Holy Spirit. And to those who are dependent upon the Holy Spirit, those spiritually mature, he says, we speak this wisdom of God to them. We'll see later on as we go down through this passage that it is the spiritually mature that can understand the wisdom of God. Natural man, unsaved man, Those who have not trusted Christ as their Savior, they can't understand God's wisdom. As he said in chapter 1, it's foolishness to them. But he also says it's the spiritually mature. Even those who are saved, those who have trusted Christ as Savior, but they're not spiritually mature. In other words, they are carnal. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul said to the Corinthians, and he accused them, that they were carnal. In that he says, you're being controlled by the flesh. They were saved. They had the Spirit of God indwelling them, but they were not depending upon the Holy Spirit. They were not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. They were being controlled by the flesh. And because they are being controlled by the flesh, he says, all you can handle is the milk of God's Word. You can't handle the meat of God's Word. And he says the same thing here. It's those who are spiritually mature, those who are not being controlled by the flesh, but being controlled by the Spirit of God that is in them. They're the ones who can really understand the wisdom of God. So the wisdom of God can only be understood by the spiritually mature, who are surrendered to the Spirit of God within them. As they've trusted Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within them. They depend upon the Holy Spirit and they can understand God's wisdom. He says in verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the princes of this age that come to nothing. He says, we speak this wisdom, it's not the wisdom of this age. He refers to man's wisdom as the wisdom of this age, as in contrast to God's wisdom, which is ageless. It's timeless. It's eternal. And as you consider the wisdom of this age, man's wisdom, it's constantly changing from one age to another. It's constantly changing. God's wisdom is eternal. God's wisdom is ageless. God's wisdom is timeless. It never changes. You think about man's wisdom and how much it changes over the years. You know, there was a time when man's wisdom said the earth was flat. Well, that had to change. And then man's wisdom said, well, the earth was the center of the universe. Well, that had to change. It's not even the center of our own galaxy, let alone the universe. There was a time when medical wisdom, man's wisdom, said that if you were sick, you'd drain blood out of you, bloodletting. You know, get rid of that bad blood. Well, that had to change. Man's wisdom, it changes through the ages. God's wisdom is ageless, it's timeless, it's eternal, it never changes. And he speaks of this wisdom of this age and the wisdom of the princes of this age that come to nothing. The rulers of this age. I absolutely refuse to get sidetracked on that one. The rulers of this age. As I said earlier, it would seem like after 6,000 years we'd have some things figured out. We don't have anything figured out. Those who are in authority, government authority, they're floundering around trying to figure things out as well. We've tried it all, haven't we? Monarchies, aristocracies, democracies, republics, socialism, communism, fascism, capitalism. We've tried it all. We don't have it figured out, do we? Our government's a mess. Our politics are a mess. Our economy's a mess. Our world's a mess. We don't have anything figured out. It's the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of this age. It's the wisdom of the rulers of this age. It's not working. Verse 7 says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So the wisdom of man is simply the wisdom of this age, whereas the wisdom of God transcends the ages. It's eternal. It never changes. And he says this wisdom of God is a mystery. Your translation may use the word hidden or secret. The thought there is simply this. Man's wisdom cannot be discovered, or rather God's wisdom cannot be discovered by man's wisdom. Man will not discover God's wisdom on his own. Can't do it. It's a mystery. It's hidden. It's a secret in that sense. Man can't figure out God's wisdom. They'll never come to an understanding of God's wisdom on their own. God must reveal it. That's the idea of a mystery. A mystery in Scripture is something that man doesn't know, man can't know, unless God reveals it to him. And so that's what Paul is saying here. We're speaking God's wisdom. It's a mystery. Man's wisdom will never figure it out. Man on his own won't get it figured out. God must reveal it to him. It's a mystery. Again, in our pride, man thinks we can figure it out. Man thinks we can find answers to the real issues of life. After 6,000 years, we don't have it figured out. We haven't found those answers because man's wisdom can't find those answers. And man's wisdom can't figure out God's wisdom unless he reveals it to us. So the wisdom of God is a mystery. It can never be discovered through man's wisdom, but only through revelation. Notice in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages unto our glory. Which God ordained before the ages unto our glory. This wisdom of God, as we said earlier, it's ageless. God's wisdom existed before there was an age. God's wisdom existed before there was a world. God's wisdom existed before there was man. It's ageless. He says he ordained this wisdom before the ages unto our glory. What's he talking about there? What's this God's wisdom have to do with our glory? Well, as you continue on in these verses, we find that at the heart of God's wisdom is our salvation and his plan of salvation. That's at the heart of God's wisdom. And before the ages, he ordained to our glory the plan of salvation. That word ordained simply means to determine beforehand. Before the world even existed, before he created it, before the ages, God determined beforehand the plan of salvation that would result in our glory. That's God's wisdom at the heart of it. And man, on his own, will never figure that out. The salvation that he speaks of here involves everything in our salvation. It's not just the salvation from the penalty of our sin. It's not just the salvation of the forgiveness of our sins. That's certainly the beginning of it. But it's everything from the forgiveness of sins when we trust Christ as our Savior until we're spending eternity with him. That's our salvation, all of it. And he says at the heart of God's wisdom is this salvation, which is to our glory. At the heart of the wisdom of God is the plan of salvation, which is determined before the ages would be for our glory. And this plan of salvation includes everything from the death of Christ in the past to the forgiveness of sins in the present to our glorified bodies in the future and all the blessings in between. That's what he's talking about. This is God's wisdom. It is in God's wisdom that he planned to send his only begotten Son to take upon him our sin so that he would take the penalty for our sin, so that through faith in him we could have the forgiveness of sins, and that through faith in him we could live a life that is pleasing and honoring to him, and through faith in him we would spend eternity in heaven with him in our glorified bodies. That's the wisdom of God. And man cannot figure it out on his own. That must be revealed by God. He says in verse 8, which none of the princes of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, he says in verse 8, he's giving us an example of how the rulers of this age do not know the wisdom of God. If they had known the wisdom of God, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have crucified Christ if they had understood the wisdom of God. Remember when Christ was being nailed to the cross? He makes this statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man in his ignorance The rulers at that time didn't know what they were doing because they were dependent upon man's wisdom and not God's wisdom. Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate, Herod, they had no clue what they were doing. In ignorance, they were crucifying God. And that's the example Paul uses to show that man's wisdom doesn't get it. They can't get it. The perfect example of how messed up man's wisdom is: the creature crucified the Creator. Sinful man crucified the Holy God. That's where man's wisdom leads. As we consider that stark contrast between the wisdom of a man and the wisdom of God, it is seen in that sinful man crucified the Holy God. Verse 9, he reminds us that, again, the wisdom of God is beyond man's ability to understand or to comprehend. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." We're not going to perceive God's wisdom through our senses. Our eyes not going to see it. Our ears aren't going to hear it. We can't perceive God's wisdom through our senses. We can't understand God's wisdom even in our inner being, through our own thoughts and through our own feelings, through our own desires, through our will, our intellect, our emotions. We're not going to get it. We can't understand God's wisdom through the physical senses, eyes not seen nor ears heard. Through our inner being, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God's wisdom is beyond our human ability. The wisdom of God is beyond the ability of man on his own to comprehend, either through his physical senses or through his inner being of thoughts, desires, or feelings. He speaks here of all that God has prepared for them who love Him. You know, verse 9 we often read with reference to heaven. You know, we look at it and say, well, you know, eyes not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for us in heaven. And we know that Christ even said in John chapter 14 that He goes to prepare a place for us. And so we often look at verse 9 as referring to heaven, that we haven't seen heaven, we haven't heard heaven, we can't fully understand heaven. And that's part of it. But that's really not what verse 9 is specifically talking about. It's not just heaven. Again, it's all of salvation. Man on his own would never come up with this salvation that is ours through faith in Christ. That forgiveness of sins because God the Son died on the cross for our sin. We wouldn't come up with that on our own. Eye wouldn't see it. Ear wouldn't hear it. Our heart wouldn't understand that. The fact that we can be forgiven of our sins by grace without earning it, by faith, not with works, we wouldn't come up with that. The idea that we would spend eternity in heaven with a holy God, we wouldn't come up with that. In fact, the best man can do is simply, you know, do your best and hope for the rest. That's about the best man's wisdom can do. All that God's prepared for us is referring to all of the blessings of salvation, not just heaven. This is what God has prepared. He says in verse 7, "Before the ages, for our glory, He determined this salvation for us." Man wouldn't come up with that. As you look at the other religions of the world, they all put man in the driver's seat. It's all about what man can do. It's the works of man. If they think they can get to heaven or nirvana or whatever else they may call it, it's because of their works. That's man's wisdom. In fact, in some religions, it's about man dying for their God. Isn't that what Islam teaches? If I die for my God, I get to go to heaven with 70 virgins. Talk about a man-made religion. or the religions that believe in reincarnation. You know, if I live a good life, I can come back as something good, but if I don't live a good life, I'm going to come back as a lower form of life. Man's wisdom doesn't come up with the idea that this is the lowest form of life I'll ever experience as a believer. That's God's wisdom. Man's wisdom is simply do your best, hope for the rest, see what happens. Just try to live a good life and maybe you'll make it. Maybe you won't. Nobody really knows. That's man's wisdom. I love verse 10. Mike said earlier, this is the last of our But God series. But God has revealed them to us. God did not leave us to our own wisdom. God did not leave us to our own devices. God did not leave us in our own ignorance. God did not leave us in that hopeless and helpless state. God didn't just leave us with a do your best and hope for the rest. But God has revealed to us His truth in salvation. God has revealed to us that which is beyond human ability to come up with, beyond human ability to understand. But God has revealed them to us. What a wonderful truth. The Spirit of God, as He says in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God has indeed revealed the truths of God, the wisdom of God. The only way man has come to know the wisdom of God and the blessings of salvation through His Son is because of this wonderful truth. But God has revealed them to us. He says in verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. You don't know my thoughts unless I reveal them to you. You can't read my mind. I have to reveal my thoughts to you. And the same is true with God's wisdom, God's thoughts, God's mind. We, as humans, will never understand God's mind. We'll never be able to know what God's mind is. We'll never be able to know what God's wisdom is unless He reveals it to us. And indeed, He has revealed it to us. But God has revealed them to us. His truths, specifically with reference to salvation, but all of His truths, He's revealed them to us. And just as you can't read my mind unless I reveal it to you, we can't read God's mind unless He reveals it to us. We can't know God's wisdom unless He reveals it to us. The Spirit of God knows the deep things of God, and He's revealed them to us in His Word. Notice what it says, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How has God revealed His wisdom to us? How has God revealed His truth to us? How has God made His mind known to us? In words. In words, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the words of God's wisdom. God has revealed His mind, He's revealed His truth, He's revealed Himself in words, and specifically, it's His Word. This is His revelation to us. This is His wisdom to us. We call it inspiration. God breathed out His words, and He had human authors write them down, and He has preserved it for us. And this is God's wisdom. He's revealed His mind to us. He's done it in His Word through inspiration. As He's revealed that Word to us, The human authors wrote it down. It's God-breathed. That's the word inspiration, God-breathed. He spoke out His words. He breathed out His words. It's His truth. It's His wisdom. He's made it known. You know, I let me ask a couple of questions. If there's a God, should He reveal Himself and His truth to us? If there is a God, should He reveal Himself and His truth to us? Most people would say, well, yeah, if there is a God, then certainly He ought to make Himself known. If there is a God, He certainly ought to make His truth known. So if there is a God, should He reveal Himself and His truth to us? And most of us say, yeah, He should. Second question, if He should reveal Himself and His truth to us, could He reveal Himself and truth to us? Well, if He's any kind of God at all, if He has any power at all, then yeah, He could do that. As I said, I can reveal my mind to you through my words. And so if there is a God, should He? Yeah. If there is a God, could He? Yeah. Just like I can. He can use words and reveal His mind and His thoughts and His wisdom to us. Third question. If He should reveal Himself and His truth to us, and He could reveal Himself and His truth to us, would He? Well, again, if He's any kind of God at all, if He has any kind of love at all, then He would reveal Himself and His truth to us. There is a God. He should reveal Himself to us. He could reveal Himself to us. And He would reveal Himself to us. And He did reveal Himself and His truth and His wisdom to us. He did it in words. Words that have been recorded for us. Words that have been preserved for us. As believers, we've received the Spirit of God who enables us now to understand the wisdom of God revealed in His Word. He goes on and says in verse 14, natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Natural man on his own, man who's not been saved and trusted Christ as their Savior, man that doesn't have the Holy Spirit within him, they're not going to understand this truth. They're not going to understand this wisdom. They're not going to understand the words that God has revealed. Natural man can't understand it. All they have is their own wisdom. They can't understand it. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and that Holy Spirit will teach us the words of God that have revealed the wisdom of God, and we can understand it. Not in our own wisdom, but because of the Spirit of God within us. We have the inspiration, that's where God has revealed in words His truth. And we have illumination, and that's where the Spirit of God takes the revealed Word of God and makes it understandable and teaches us. We can understand the wisdom of God. Think about that for a moment. Think about that wonderful truth, but God has revealed them to us. Think about the God of the universe, the omniscient God, has made His mind known to me. And has enabled me to understand His mind. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not omniscient, and neither are you. We can't fully comprehend everything about God. We're going to spend eternity learning more and more about God. But what is important for life, what is necessary for life, what we need for life, He has revealed it to us, and we can understand it. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has revealed His wisdom to us. We can know it. We can understand it because we have the Spirit of God in us as believers. The omniscient God, the Creator, the sovereign God of the universe, has revealed himself in his truth to us. He's revealed his wisdom in words which we can understand through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, whom he has indeed given to us. I suppose the only question that's really left, do you care? Do you care that God has revealed his truth to us? Do you care that he's given you the Holy Spirit to understand that truth and his wisdom? Do you care that he's revealed his mind to us? Do you care that we can understand the mind of God? Do you care? Do you care enough to read and study and apply God's word to your life? And we say we care, but we take that revelation and we go home this afternoon, we set it on the shelf, and we'll pick it up again next Sunday. We don't read it, we don't study it, we don't really apply it to our life. It's God's revelation. We'll say we believe that. We'll say it's God's wisdom. We say we believe that, but do we really care? Does this truth, but God has revealed it to you, does that impact your daily life? Do you care enough to elevate God's word above your personal preferences and happiness and above cultural norms? This is God's wisdom. Your personal preferences and your personal happiness and the cultural norms around us, that's all man's wisdom, which is elevated in your life. Which do you follow? God's wisdom or man's wisdom? More and more, the cultural norms are making their way into the church. I'm speaking of the church in general. More and more the church is accepting the cultural norms. Man's wisdom says, go ahead and live with your girlfriend before you get married. Only makes sense, you know, get to know each other better and make sure you're compatible. That's man's wisdom. Makes sense. That sounds kind of logical. But it's not what God's wisdom says at all. And in fact, the data proves it doesn't work. Man's wisdom says, well, just follow your heart. That'll bring you great satisfaction and contentment. God's wisdom says, no, it's not about following your heart. That's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's about following my word. It's about following my wisdom. That's what will bring contentment and satisfaction. Man's wisdom says, do what feels good. That'll bring happiness. God's wisdom says, do what my word says. That's what really will bring you joy in life. Why is it that we elevate man's wisdom above God's wisdom? Why is it that we follow man's advice and man's counsel rather than the counsel of God? Man's wisdom hasn't solved anything in 6,000 years. What makes us think it's going to be solved in our lifetime? It's not going to work. God's wisdom. He's revealed it to us. He didn't leave us helpless and hopeless. He didn't leave us to our own counsel and to our own devices. But God has revealed His truths to us. We need to elevate that revelation above our own personal preferences, our own personal happiness, the cultural norms around us. Who are we going to believe? Man's wisdom? God's wisdom. We can understand God's wisdom only because He's revealed it to us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to understand it. Do you care. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your revelation. It's just such an awesome thought that the God of the universe did not leave us hopeless and helpless and to our own wisdom and devices. But God has revealed his truth to us. He's made it known. Through his Spirit, he's made it understandable. Help us to care. Help us to study your revelation, to want to know what you have to say, to want to know your mind so that we can apply it to our lives and not depend upon the failures of man's wisdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Sit down with you in God's Word. If you have any questions, if you have any concerns, if there's something you don't understand, we'd love to take you to God's revelation so that we can understand together. Shall we stand? Again, Father, we're so grateful that you have not left us to our own devices. You've not left us to simply our wisdom. You've revealed your wisdom to us. Thank you for this hour together, and we pray now for our Sunday school hour. May we continue to rejoice in the truths of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.